மூக்கம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத் கிருபா தமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். யம் ப்ரஹ்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ர மருதஹ ஸ்துன்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவைஹ வேதைஹ சாங்கபதக்ரமோபநிஷதைஹ காயந்தி யம் சாமகஹ த்யானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தி யம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுஸ்ஸுரா சுரகணாஹ தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நம. ஜான விஜான யோகோ நாம சப்தமோத்யாயஹ. As I said, seventh chapter onwards until the 12th chapter, these six chapters which form the middle part of the Bhagavad Gita discuss three main topics, that is Ishvara Bhagavad Swarupam, then Bhagavad Anugraha and Bhagavad, grace of Bhagavan, and Upasanam as a discipline to calm the mind. In the first six chapters, already is supposed to have understood the essential nature of Jiva. That is the truth of I. So the scriptures, there is a method of unfoldment, the traditional teaching methodology, to distinguish the self from the non-self and to arrive at what the self is. That we have few methods of analyzing the individual, and one most important, the very beginning, the basic method of unfoldment is Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. Prakriya means the method of unfoldment. Prakriya means method. How to analyze the individual? How to arrive at the truth of the individual? So here we know the world is an object of knowledge. So the world consists of fivefold objects perceived through five different senses in five different forms, as forms, colors, light, sound, smell, taste, touch. So all these objects of knowledge are known through the five sense organs. These five sense organs, very name sense organ, is because through which an object is sensed. So these objects are known through the sense organs, means there is a knower who knows these fivefold objects, the world in the five different forms as five different objects. So every one of us can say that I am the knower and the world is known to me. So I am the knower, the world is known to me. In fact, anything known is part of the universe, the world. Known is the world. So something is far from you, you can say that is, you can use the pronoun that to indicate that object. Something very close to you, nearby you, you can use the pronoun this to indicate the object. So that's a nice way of saying anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than I is an object of knowledge. Anything and everything indicated by any pronoun or any word other than I is an object of knowledge. Therefore, I, what is indicated by the pronoun I alone is not an object but is subject of knowledge. So I am the knower. And what is known by me is an object, which is the world. If the knower I is definitely the subject, is different from the known object. Therefore, when you come to your own physical body, you take it on the dress you are wearing, you have to say, this is the dress. The dress is an object of your knowledge. And you are the knower, different from the known, the dress you are wearing. So also, your whole physical body, you can say, this is my head, these are my hands, these are my fingers, these are my toes, these are my thighs, these are my knees, these are my shanks, my feet, the whole trunk, the whole body. The body is also an object of your knowledge, and you are the knower, your own physical body. Not only others' bodies are known to you, your own physical body is an object known to you like any other body. Therefore, you, the knower, are distinct from, different from the known physical body. Therefore, you are the knower, different from not only the perceptible physical body, also the imperceptible subtle powers which indwell this physical body in terms of five sense powers. We say your seeing power is known to you, your hearing power is known to you, your power of smelling is known to you, power of taste and touch are also known to you. All the subtle powers are called jnana indriyani. They are all known to you. Organs of, powers of, organs of knowledge. Then similarly, the powers of, organs of actions, which are also not perceptible through sense organs, but you understand the power being manifest. The power in your hands, the power in your legs, the power in your organ of speech, the power in your reproductive organ, the power in your excretory organ. All these subtle powers, imperceptible but still understandable, the powers of organs of actions called karma indriyani, they are also known to you. And also the five physiological functions constantly happening from day one you came to this world, assuming this tiny little body, from that time onwards, non-stop the physiological functions are happening. They will never stop. The day they stop, functions stop, the end of life, this life as death. Therefore, physiological functions, again, one vital air, only one vital air involved in five different functions, governing five different systems. So the pranaha governing the respiratory system, apanaha governing the excretory system, vyanaha governing the circulatory system, and samanaha governing your digestive system, and udanaha governing retentive system. So five physiological functions are happening. They are also known to you, and you are the knower, different and distinct from the known all subtle powers and physiological functions. Apart from that, the one more subtle thing is what we have, this antahkaranam, mind. The mind also, like, what is this mind? Mind is nothing but thoughts, many thought modifications. In Samskritam we call it vritti. Vritti nam samuhaha, eva antahkaranam. Many thoughts put together is this antahkaranam mind. And mainly, the knowledge that the world is also a thought, a cognition obtaining in the form of a thought. The knowledge that I am is also thought obtaining in the form of a that vritti, the mind. All these thoughts constitute the mind. And this mind also is an object of knowledge, is known to you. Why? Because mind is a nothing but a state of mind, is a state of experience. Mind can never be in one state always. Mind is always in three different states. State of mind is state of experience, and they are constantly changing. They're not discontinuous also. They're mutually exclusive, and each state of mind is known to you. Because there's a waking state, then there's no dream or deep sleep state. When there is dream, there's no waking or deep sleep state. When there is deep sleep state, there's no waking state. And these states of mind or states of experience are constantly changing. And the changes, all the three states of mind are known to you. That's why you can talk about your sleep, you can talk about your dream, you can talk about your waking also, of course. Why? Because three states of mind are known, which means three states of experience. In all the three states of experience, the knower, the experiencer is you. You are the experiencer, distinct from the known states of experience. Therefore, mind also is an object of knowledge. For anything known is an object of knowledge. An object of knowledge has to be understood as the world, jagat, universe. And anything known is matter, and which is of the nature of inertness, which means which does not have independent existence. The known is inert in nature, and inert is matter. The known is dependent on the knower for its existence. So the know, you are the knower distinct from the known, which means definitely the I, the knower, is distinct and different. And who is this I? What is this I? We can say it's a pronoun, I, used by all the individuals to refer to one's own self. And what is this I? This I is also expression of the cognition obtaining in him of a thought. I, isn't it? Referred to one's own self. This I vritti. If we ask, what is this I is the knower, and what is the knower, who is the knower here? There is no knower other than the reality. That which obtains as the knower is reality. You can't talk about the form, you can't talk about the attribute, you can't talk about the color, or can't talk about anything. In what form does the reality obtain? You only arrive at the reality as the truth of the knower. Who is the knower, if you ask? There is no knower. There is a knower, you understand. But who is that knower who is there, knowing all the changing states of mind? That knower is none other than the reality. And the reality is the abstract, subtlest. And why does the reality know? Why does the reality experience? If you ask, can you ever ask the question, why does the sun illumine? Why does the fire burn? Burning is nature of the fire. Illumining is the nature of the sun. Similarly, knowing is the nature of the reality. Therefore, you arrive at the reality, the abstract, subtlest, formless reality as the truth of the knower. If you ask me who is the illuminator here, there is no illuminator other than the light. So when you say illuminator is light, you are intellectually resolving the illuminator state word in the very light. Similarly, who is the knower? There is no knower other than the reality. The knower is the reality. And why does the reality know? Because knowing is the nature, not an action. Light does not do any action to illumine the objects here. Similarly, reality does not do any action to know the things, to know the states of mind. Knowing is the very nature. Therefore, in terms of its nature of knowing, the reality is implied by the term jnanam, okay, consciousness. Therefore, we understand this consciousness. This is how we arrive at the essential nature of individual being, pure consciousness. We have few other methods also. All the methods we use to arrive at the nature of the reality, being pure consciousness. Reality is formless. So what word can you use to imply the reality? Please come in. Reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, jnanam is a consciousness or awareness, pure knowledge. And here we need to understand, even though known objects are many, seem to be many, known bodies are many, known thoughts are many, known minds are many, known states of experience of different people are different, but the knower is one. The knower is another than the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness. The reality is one, and is the consciousness is one, and it is independent. Consciousness is not dependent on the known to come to light. Independent. And its consciousness is all pervasive. It pervades this body-mind complex. It energizes, it enlivens the body-mind complex. At the same time, it is distinct from the body-mind complex. Distinct but not distant. But it is not in any way limited by the boundaries, the peripheries of the body-mind complex. It pervades everything. Just as the space pervading this room is not limited by the walls of the room. In fact, the walls themselves stand in the space. The space goes beyond this room, which means space is all-pervasive. Similarly here, only example I'm giving here, this reality obtaining the form of pure consciousness, which alone is in the form of knower in all the minds, the consciousness is also all pervasive. And this consciousness has no beginning, no end. It is of the nature of changelessness, doesn't undergo any changes, therefore it is eternal. And this consciousness being the very truth, independent of the known world. So the known is known by the term anatma. The knower is atma. Reduce everything into two as atma and anatma. So atma, anatma is dependent on atma for its very existence. Therefore atma, the consciousness, the knower consciousness, atma is indestructible. So timeless, changeless. And this is the truth of the individual. So we are supposed to have understood in the first six chapters we studied also. And even though this analysis helps us to understand this, we see very clearly the I is an expression of the cognition obtaining in him of a thought for which is nothing but essentially the reality, the formless, all-pervasive reality, the consciousness. Just as we say, wave is water, I is definitely consciousness. And consciousness is the truth, only reality. So we must be able to say, I, the Self, am the consciousness, the truth, distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, though not distant. And I, the consciousness, am ever indestructible, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, eternal, timeless, changeless, independent, all-pervasive, only reality. We must be able to say, we must be able to remember this. But it is not possible. In spite of knowing, we arrive at the fact, but still we forget. And anything whatever happens for the body, mind, complex, does affect our peace. We are afflicted by the situations because it is not enough if we simply understand this. It has to be thoroughly analyzed and has to be assimilated. It must become a clear, doubt-free knowledge. And even for this knowledge to become assimilated, to ascertain also, we must be able to repeatedly contemplate upon this fact that this knower, there is no I am the knower, I is the knower is the reality, the Atma, the consciousness, the only reality which is free from birth and death. And this fact has to become assimilated, means we must be able to dwell upon this fact. And dwelling upon this fact involves what? Being endowed with a steady and pure mind. We need a contemplative disposition of the mind, and we don't have that mind, that even though we understand, we are not able to assimilate it. Mere understanding of the fact is not enough. If we have to enjoy the benefit of this knowledge, we must have it assimilated. And for assimilation, we must be able to constantly dwell upon this fact, and for which we need certain disposition of the mind. We don't have it. Therefore, this knowledge doesn't have any purpose because we are not assimilated it. And to have such a contemplative disposition of the mind, to be able to dwell upon it, to assimilate it, to be adequately qualified in terms of purity and steadiness, mental purity and mental steadiness. The lifestyle also is prescribed in the first 6 chapters, living a life of karma yoga, which means living one's life consciously, in conformity with dharma. So performing all the actions in conformity with dharma. And also living one's life with the focus that I am living this life, ultimately discover my freedom, the happiness is already there as a truth of reality, obtaining as my own self. If there's a commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge, then you can say we all have purushartha nischayaha. Purushartha nischayaha means being definite about the purpose of living this life. And with the purushartha nischayaha, when you live your life, do all your duties in conformity with dharma, knowing the value of dharma, then the life becomes life of karma yoga. Whatever action you do, it becomes yoga. You perform it with the purushartha nischaya. It becomes a preparatory discipline. There is a certain attitude also is involved. All your actions you perform also become offered to Bhagavan. Then you have Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi, because your end is very clear. being clear about the end being moksha and jnanam, when you live your life performing all your duties, the duties you perform become offered to Bhagavan. Which means you are entertaining a proper attitude of offering all your actions to the Lord. That is when whatever you do becomes a preparatory discipline, then you can call it a karma yoga. You perform the action, you don't perform karma yoga. You perform the action, but the attitude with which you perform, for what you perform, for what to live this life, that converts your action into a preparatory discipline, then you call it a yoga. And not only that, the person who lives with the Purushartha Nischaya, being clear about the end being moksha, and what happens, there is a certain attitude towards all the situations which come in your life also. So whatever I go through in my life, it all, yesterday I said, my other Gita class, all the situations we go through in our life are determined by the natural laws. We perform actions, we definitely we have say over our actions. We can use our will, we can choose to do right action, we can use our faculty of choice, we can use your willpower, we can choose to do the right action, refrain from the wrong action. We have choice over actions. Before doing, we can choose. We can choose to do the right, refrain from the wrong. But once you finished doing the action, we do not have any say over the results of actions. Because results of actions are definitely determined by the natural laws. In keeping with the motive and intention behind your action, in keeping with the action, that's right or wrong. So the natural laws determine results, means the natural laws are also Bhagavan. Therefore, if you understand this fact, the Bhagavan in the form of natural laws determine the results of actions, means whatever I go through in my life are determined by Bhagavan in the form of law and order, then I look at the situation as prasadam, and this attitude of entertaining, this attitude of being able to look at all that I go through in my life as prasada, understanding the fact that they are determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws, is called entertaining the attitude of prasada buddhi. And it is this attitudes, it is this right action, performing actions in conformity with dharma, convert all your actions, the whole life, into a life of worship, a life of karma yoga. And living this life consciously, in due course of time, will contribute for the preparedness and steadiness, the qualification required for this knowledge, the assimilation of this knowledge. Therefore, karma yoga also is prescribed in the first 6 chapters. I best briefed it actually. That is why thinking that everything is ordained by the law, therefore I need not do anything, that attitude is not correct. Therefore here also, how I must make my own effort, use my will to do the right all the time, to refrain from the wrong, which means the present life is determined by my past, means there's a future which can be again is in my present hand, at present in my hands. So I can make use of the knowledge of right and wrong, which I'm already blessed with. I can make use of the faculty of choice, the willpower I'm blessed with, the capacity to choose to do a given action. Is called willpower, that every human being is uniquely blessed with this willpower. So making use of this willpower, making use of the knowledge of right and wrong, if I can choose to do the right, refrain from the wrong, my actions are always governed by my knowledge of right and wrong. They are not dictated by my personal whims and fancies. That is how I had to make efforts to do the right, to refrain from the wrong. my effort is on my part to do the right, to refrain from the wrong, definitely there is a way of tapping Bhagavan's grace. Understand, it's the only way we can tap Bhagavan's grace. So these are the three important factors discussed in the first six chapters. We will move on to the second six chapters here. Seventh chapter. So here, the seventh chapter is entitled as Jnana Vijnana Yogaha. Now, as I always say this, the word Yogaha is used as a topic. It means the subject matter, the topic of the word yoga here means the topic and subject matter of the chapter. So, Jnanam and Vijnanam. In Ishvara Swarupam, Bhagavat Swarupam is subject matter of this topic. Six chapters, from 7th to the 12th. But here also, and Jnanam and Vijnanam, these two words mean actually Bhagavan's Rupam, knowledge of Bhagavan's Rupam, Bhagavan's form is Jnanam. And knowledge of Bhagavan's Swarupam is Vijnanam. Rupa Jnanam, Swarupa Jnanam, knowledge of the form and knowledge of the essential nature. That Jnanam and Vijnanam. In fact, the two aspects which constitute Ishvara, I can tell you here, before even entering into the topic, let me tell you. Ishvaraha or Bhagavan, God, is a fact, a concept to be understood. See, there is an absolute reality, the ultimate truth, and which we arrived at, which you understand, as the truth of I, in terms of pure consciousness, as essential nature of the individual. And this consciousness is the only reality. There is a second reality obtaining, arrived at in terms of the knowledge, pure knowledge, is the only reality. There is a second thing other than the reality. This reality is implied by the term Brahma. Why? Because of its nature of limitlessness. This reality is free from time limitation. There is no beginning, no end. Time wise limitless. There is no place, no space where it is not. Therefore it is spatially limitless, spatially infinite, time wise infinite. And there is no form in this world, no form in here, no object here, no object, no form here, which is not in and through, pervaded by this object, the reality. There is no object which is not this reality. Therefore, this reality is free from object limitation also. Being free from these threefold limitations, it is implied by the term, is said to be of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is implied by the term Brahma. The word Brahma means incomparably limitlessly big. Brahatvat Brahma, Brahatamatvat Brahma is a Brahma. Why reality is implied by the term Brahma? And this reality alone is given the status, qualification of being the Lord. There is no Ishvaraha Bhagavan other than this reality. God is truth. Bhagavan is this truth. Ishvaraha is this truth. Which means there's this truth. God is only a qualification, a title attributed to this reality. Why? Because this whole universe which you are experiencing now, as experiencer of the universe, experience of the universe, and experienced universe, the forms, names and functions. For all of them now enjoy existence. The world is, means the world enjoys existence. And anything which is here, it must have come from somewhere. And there must be a cause for this universe. Cause means, we say there must be the material cause and there must be the intelligent cause also. Even if you take this small door, you can see there's a wood which is the material cause of the door. And the carpenter who had the skill and knowledge how to make this. So that knowledge and skill of the carpenter is the intelligent cause. When you see this small product called door, you see both the causes inseparably there in that creation. The carpenter, we do not know who he is. But the carpenter's knowledge definitely is manifest here. His skill is there because he worked on it. And we also see the wood here. This knowledge and skill is called intelligent cause, efficient cause, and the wood is the material cause. And here, in every product, you can see both the causes being manifest inseparably. Similarly, with reference to the entire cosmos also, there must be intelligent and the material causes. The intelligent cause is called Nimitta Karanam. The material cause is called Upadana Karanam. And we say both these causes are this one and the only reality. There is no other thing apart from this truth. What is the material cause of this universe? The same reality. Who is the intelligent cause of the universe? The same reality. So when we look at this reality, understand how this reality is intelligent and material cause of this whole jagat, whole cosmos, and then the Ishvara status is attributed to the reality. Okay, Ishvara status is attributed to the reality. Therefore, two aspects. Constitute the only reality is looked upon as the Lord with two different aspects. In the seventh chapter, we are going to understand these two aspects as para prakritihi and apara prakritihi. Para prakritihi means the higher nature. Apara prakritihi, the inferior nature. Two different aspects. And they are not two different independent things. The two orders of the same reality. Therefore here, the knowledge of Ishvara, who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is, understanding Bhagavan, the Lord, as the one obtained from a twofold aspects, which are the manifestations of the only reality, is in fact understanding Bhagavan. Those two words, so jnanam and vijnanam, actually imply understanding Bhagavan as the one obtaining in twofold, with twofold aspects. Therefore, jnanam stands for the knowledge of the Lord with the form. And vijnanam stands for knowledge of the truth of the Lord, the whole. The Lord with form as a universe, Lord without this form, essentially, what essentially is Vijnana. So knowledge of the Rupam and the Swarupam. Bhagavad Rupam, knowledge of the Bhagavad Rupam is Jnanam. Knowledge of Bhagavad Swarupam is Vijnanam. I can tell you, what is Bhagavan's Rupam? We say, if I say, the entire ocean is the form, the Rupam, huge Rupam, there's a tiny Rupam called as wave. We see many tiny Rupams, wave called the form of waves, many small forms called waves, and all these small form wave forms constitute one huge form called ocean, Rupam. And for that Rupam, what is that one truth without which all the forms, all the wave forms will collapse, even the ocean form will collapse, is the truth, which is water. So water is the Swarupam, H2O is the Swarupam, and the ocean full of waves is Rupam. Similarly here, this entire cosmos of the entire objective universe, including our ahankara, including the essence, including the mind, body, mind sense complex, this entire objective universe consisting of innumerable countless forms indicated by innumerable countless names, associated with innumerable countless functions, serving their own purposes, the whole universe is what? Bhagavan's Rupam. Why? If we look at Bhagavan as the intelligent and material cause of the universe, and the effect universe is inseparable from Bhagavan, if the wood is the cause, door is the effect, understand the door is inseparable from its cause. If Bhagavan is the material cause, the intelligent cause, this universe also is inseparable from Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the universe is not far from Bhagavan. Therefore, we can say Bhagavan alone is in the form of the whole universe. The truth is in the form of the universe. Bhagavan is the truth. Therefore, Bhagavan is in the form of the whole universe. If Bhagavan, the truth, is not anything in the universe, but every small form here, every object here, the entire universe, nothing but the Bhagavan, the truth. Isn't it? So the whole cosmos is what? The perceptible, objective universe, which is otherwise called Anatma, which is the known universe, which is of the nature of inertness, is what? Bhagavan's Rupam. Okay, Anatma Prapanchaha is what? It includes what? Time factor. It includes the space. Time and space, the subtle intangible factors, and all the forms, names and functions which exist part of this universe. Time and space, and all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, the everything is his what? Bhagavan's Rupam. Time is Bhagavan. Intangible space is Bhagavan. Earth is Bhagavan. Water is Bhagavan. Fire is Bhagavan. Air is Bhagavan. Space is Bhagavan. All these elementals, elements are Bhagavan, elementals are Bhagavan, living beings are Bhagavan, mobile are Bhagavan, immobile are Bhagavan, non-living things are also Bhagavan. Whole Jagat is Bhagavan. That is why in South India, I don't know about North India, I think in Ayudha Puja day, even in North India, all the lorries, buses, everything, there's a day, they all have pujas and kumkum, chandan, malas. Why? Because for us, there's nothing which is not Bhagavan here. This is our concept of Bhagavan. Okay? There's nothing which is not Bhagavan. That is why in Vedic culture we are not supposed to push anything with our leg. I'm not saying it is wrong if we're doing it here. But in Vedic culture, the reverence is there for everything. Everything has enjoys reverence and respect. Why? We always bend down and take and keep something. We never push anything with our leg because everything is Bhagavan for us. And here, imagine, we don't know when the time begins, where the space begins. And what about this physical body is what? Part of this objective universe. What about the sense organs, part of this objective universe? What about our physiological functions, part of this objective universe? What about our every thought, our mind, the waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, this antahkaranam, this mind is also part of this objective universe. That the knowledge I am obtaining in your thought, the cognition is what? An objective, part of an objective universe. The knowledge of the world is, the cognition obtaining in our thought is also what? Part of an objective universe. You know, everything is objective universe. Therefore, everything is Bhagavan here. But Bhagavan is not anything here. And this objective universe, anatma prapanchaha, which is of the nature of inertness, achetana jada anatma prapanchaha, is what? Bhagavan's rupam, form. This is apara prakritihi. And the knower consciousness, because of the presence of which the universe is enjoying its status of being existent, that consciousness is para prakritihi. Para prakritihi. These two together, we say what? Para prakritihi, the pure consciousness, and the matter, apnama, the whole jagat, what? Apara prakritihi. Both these aspects together are given the status as what? Ishwaraha. And they are not two. Consciousness and the matter, atma and anatma, are not two. Nor are they one. Why they are not one? Because matter is of the nature of inertness. The reality is of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, they are not one. They are not two also. Why? Because this matter, the material universe, the inert material universe, does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is not countable as a parallel reality. Therefore, we say it's not, they're not two. They're non-dual reality. They're two orders of the only reality. So we say this, Atma is Satyam, Anatma Prapancha is Mithya. Satyam and Mithya are not two independent realities. They are two orders of the only reality. That is why we have to use this expression, Advaitam. The two means we could have used the term Dvaitam. The one means we could have said Oekam. They are neither one nor are they two. Therefore they are non-dual. Two orders of the only reality. Okay? And yes, we say, when you look at these two aspects of each, two aspects are what now? Two orders of the only reality. And then together, this reality alone is given this Ishvara status, Bhagavan status. Is it clear? And here, we are going to understand Bhagavan thoroughly here. in all the six chapters, but the very beginning, the seventh chapter itself, he said, no, the Jnana Vijnana Yogaha, the chapter in which we are understanding Bhagavan Rupam and His Swarupam. So, Rupam means Bhagavan with in a given form, the reality with the given form is what? Saguna Rupam. And reality as reality without this Rupam is what? Nirguna Swarupam. Nirguna Rupam and Saguna Rupam. I improve with these words, Jnanam and Vijnanam. Don't worry, I'll finish it before Monday, okay? What to do? I cannot help. When a lot of you also. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Jnana Vijnana Yogo Nama.
Jnana Vijnana Yogo Nama.
Saptamodhyayah.
Saptamodhyayah.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Here Arjuna doesn't ask question like other chapters. Straight away Bhagavan starts. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Maya Sakta Manah Partha.
Maya Sakta Manah Partha.
Yogam Yunjan Madashrayah.
Yogam Yunjan Madashrayah.
Asam Shayam Maha. Asam Shayam Samagrammam.
Asam Shayam Samagrammam.
Yatha Jnasyasi Tachrunu.
Yatha Jnasyasi Tachrunu.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Maya Sakta Manah Partha.
Maya Sakta Manah Partha.
Yogam Yunjan Madashrayah.
Yogam Yunjan Madashrayah.
Asam Shayam Samagrammam.
Asam Shayam Samagrammam.
Yatha Jnasyasi Tachrunu.
Yatha Jnasyasi Tachrunu.
So Bhagavan says here, Hey Partha. Hey Partha is calling Arjuna as Partha. O son of Pritha, Partha, Shrunu, may you listen. If you listen, how you should listen? Mayi Asakta Manaha. Asakta Tihi means interest. Asakta Manaha means one with the mind which has interest. The mind which has interest is called Asakta Manaha. And your interest must be in whom? Mayi, in me. So Mayi Asakta Manaha means if you listen to me as the one who is totally committed to understand what Bhagavan is, who Bhagavan is. The total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Having knowledge of Bhagavan as the only goal. Having Bhagavan as the ultimate priority. Listen, Mayi Asakta Manaha. Then Mad Ashrayaha. Mad Ashrayaha. Taking refuge in me. What does it mean? Taking refuge means what? Understanding that knowledge of Bhagavan is the only source of happiness and security. being dependent only on Bhagavan for one's security and happiness is called what? Being taking Bhagavan as the refuge, isn't it? So mad ashrayaha, taking refuge in Bhagavan means surrendering oneself to Bhagavan, which means accepting Bhagavan as only source of security and happiness, and being committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan. Yogam yunjan. Meditating. We will explain later on. Being given to the yoga. Then you listen. Mam yatha samagram asamshayam jnasyasi. Mam jnasyasi. Then you will know. You will understand me. Mam jnasyasi. Arjuna, only then you will understand me, the Lord. You understand Bhagavan. Mam jnasyasi. Katham, how will you know? Samagram, totally, entirely, completely. You understand Bhagavan totally means you understand Bhagavan's apara prakriti, understand Bhagavan's para prakriti. You understand Bhagavan's rupam in the form of the whole universe, Bhagavan, the entire Vishwam being the rupam of Bhagavan. The entire universe being the root form of Bhagavan, understand. Understand how Bhagavan is essentially the pure knowledge also. Understand Bhagavan's rupam and Bhagavan's surupam also. Understand both. Now we don't even know Bhagavan's rupam. We have to understand Bhagavan's surupam. The whole cosmos is Bhagavan. We don't need to see up or sidewise where Bhagavan is. All that we are seeing, what we are hearing is Bhagavan only. Everything, the seer is Bhagavan, seen is Bhagavan, seeing is Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan. The whole Jagat is Bhagavan, but Vishwarupaha. Bhagavan is Vishwarupaha. The one whose rupam is Vishwam is called Vishwarupaha. Even this we do not know. And here, what about us? Where are we? We're already Bhagavan only. Bhagavan's rupam. And this tiny little mind, which is there as part of Bhagavan, has to understand Bhagavan the whole. Imagine, this mind, which is part of the Bhagavan the whole, fraction of the whole, has to understand the whole. That is why Bhagavan Rupam itself is incomprehensible. Bhagavan's Rupam is incomprehensibly vast. That is why we have what? Murtis. We have symbols, we have alambanam, we have symbols which stand for Bhagavan the whole. That's why when we do namaskaram to our murtis, Bhagavan is not the murti, but definitely every murti we bow to is Bhagavan. Don't need to have any doubt. That's why we didn't mind standing downstairs, offering to all the murtis one by one, arati namaskaram. We have no problem. Definitely every murti is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not any murti. Is it clear? Therefore, and this mind has to, mind which is the tiniest fraction of the inexplicably vast whole, has to understand the whole. Understand? That's why, that's also what samagram mam jnasyasi means. You know me entirely, thoroughly, totally. How? My rupam as being as a whole and also my swarupam. Isn't it? So here, samagram mam jnasyasi. Asamshayam mam jnasyasi. You will know me doubtlessly, without any doubt. Thoroughly you will understand me. Understand me totally. But both the aspects. You will understand my apara prakriti aspect. Understand para prakriti aspect. understand my matter aspect, understand my consciousness aspect, understand my rupam, understand my surupam. Understand? When you understand the rupam, oh, whole jagat is Bhagavan. When you understand, there is no matter other than Bhagavan. Yet whole jagat is Bhagavan means this is you understanding Bhagavan indirectly. Why? You see, all the whole entire cosmos is Bhagavan when you say, nice, understanding of Bhagavan is correct. But is then Bhagavan is still what? I am different from Bhagavan, isn't it? And who is this Bhagavan? Who is this Bhagavan? Who is alone in the name of the whole jagat? That Bhagavan is essentially what? Consciousness, you understand, and you arrive at that Bhagavan Surupam as your own Surupam. You see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not other than you, your Surupam. Then that is the immediate jnanam. Understand? You understand Bhagavan Surupam as what? Essentially, the whole cosmos is reducible to one reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge consciousness, and that pure consciousness is the surupam of the knower. I, when you see, you understand yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, then Bhagavan is who? Immediate self. Therefore, it is immediate knowledge. So, immediate knowledge of Bhagavan Swarupam, the truth of the whole as your own self, is called Vijnanam. And understanding Bhagavan as this entire cosmos, every time is Bhagavan, space is Bhagavan, everything I see, hear, smell, taste, whatever I know is only Bhagavan, you say, it is indirect jnanam, knowledge of Bhagavan, which is called Bhagavan's jnanam. Jnanam and vijnanam. Is it clear? Therefore he says, you will understand Bhagavan samagram. Means what? Samagram, samagrataya means entirely, totally you understand Bhagavan. You will not have any doubt about Bhagavan at all. Ishvara, the Lord at all. Concept of God must become very clear right now. So entirely means you understand both. You understand me indirectly, understand me directly means what? Not directly, as an immediate self. What is the immediate to the wave? What is immediate to the wave? What is immediate to the I, the knower? Consciousness. Therefore, knowledge of the truth is what? Knowledge of the immediate self. This Pooja Swami has very beautiful aparoksha jnanam. He always used the term expression, immediate. People use different words, okay? Very special for this, the Dayananda Saraswati's unfoldment. Very, makes it very clear. Immediate. Anyway, so then asamshayam. Samshayaha means doubt. Asamshayam is an adverb, doubtlessly. Without any doubt, completely, you understand Bhagavan. So, in the very first verse, Bhagavan introduces the subject matter of the chapter. The subject matter of the other six chapters, whole six chapters also, in terms of understanding Bhagavan's rupam and swarupam. Bhagavan swarupa jnanam. You will understand tachruno. But to understand that, what must be there? Asakta manaha. So you must become asakta manaha. Your mind must be totally committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth. Then ashrayaha. You must know that commitment is possible only if you see the fact that Bhagavan as the reality is the only source of happiness and security. That is when you can become dependent on Bhagavan. Isn't it? Take refuge in Bhagavan. Ashrayaha. Then yogam yunjan, being given to the yoga. disciplined life. Yogam means living a disciplined, clean life. Three things are emphasized. If you have samagram, asamshayam, you will know Bhagavan. You will jnasyasi. Okay. Jnanam teham savijnanam.
Jnanam teham
savijnanam. Idam vakshyam yaseshatah.
Idam vakshyam yaseshatah.
Jnanam teham savijnanam.
Jnanam teham
savijnanam. Idam vakshyam yaseshatah.
Idam vakshyam yaseshatah.
Yajnyatva neha bhoyonyat.
Yajnyatva neha bhoyonyat.
Jnatavyamavasishyate.
Jnatavyamavasishyate.
Yajnyatva neha bhoyonyat.
Yajnyatva neha
bhoyonyat. Jnatavyamavasishyate.
Jnatavyamavasishyate.
Before I go to next verse, I will prose out of the first verse. He Partha, Yogam Yunjan, Mayi Asakta Manaha, Mad Ashrayaha, Yatha Mam Asamshayam Samagram Jnasyasi, Tat Shruno. This is the prose order of the verse. Jnanam teham savijnanam.
Jnanam teham savijnanam.
Idam vakshyam yaseshatah.
Idam vakshyam yaseshatah.
Yajnyatva neha bhoyonyat.
Yajnyatva neha bhoyonyat.
Jnatavyamavasishyate.
Jnatavyamavasishyate.
Yajnyatva neha bhoyonyajnyatam avasishyate. When you break it, bhoyonyat. Okay. He says, Aham te vakshyami. Aham, I, te, to you, vakshyami, shall say. I shall speak to you. I shall tell you. Aham te vakshyami. I shall tell you. How aseshataha. Everything without omitting anything. Without omitting anything, aseshataha, complete, without hiding anything, keeping anything little behind with me. No. You have to come back again and again to me. No. Everything, totally, completely, without omitting anything, I shall tell you. Aseshataha aham te vakshyami. I shall tell you everything totally. What? Jnanam savijnanam. Idam jnanam savijnanam aham te aseshataha vakshyami. I shall tell you everything totally, completely, without keeping anything behind. What? Jnanam and na jnanam savijnanam. Along with the vijnanam, I said, I will give you jnanam. So jnanam is what? Jnanam, what is my apara prakritihi? I will tell you what is the apara prakritihi. What is the para prakritihi? So vijnanam stands for knowledge of para prakriti, apara para prakritihi. Knowledge of apara prakritihi is jnanam. So vijnanam, visesha jnanam. Jnanam, jnanam. Jnanam and vijnanam literally means the same. Jnanam means knowledge. Vijnanam also means knowledge. What is the big difference? Why should we say two? So knowledge of what is absolutely real, a knowledge of what is relatively empirically real. Okay, knowledge of what is empirically real is jnanam. Knowledge of what is absolutely real is vijnanam. Knowledge of what this material universe is what? Vijnanam. A knowledge of what reality is what? Vijnanam. So vijnanam and jnanam, nothing but what is this universe all about? Is knowledge of the universe is jnanam. Knowledge of what is the truth of the universe is what? Vijnanam. Okay, knowledge of this material universe, anatma prapancha is jnanam. Knowledge of the truth of the anatma prapancha, atma, the essential nature of the whole is vijnanam. I shall tell you both jnanam sa vijnanam, along with, I'll tell you my apara prakritihi, along with my absolute knowledge, nature. Aham te sa vijnanam idam jnanam aseshataha vakshyami. Now, yati jnatva, after attaining that jnanam. Suppose if you know what is jnanam, what is vijnanam. If you know Bhagavan's apara prakriti and para prakriti. If you know the whole, what this whole jagat is, the manifestation of appearance of the only truth. And the only truth is this consciousness. If you understand both. Like, you know, when with reference to ocean, oh, the entire ocean full of waves, even appearance of the only truth called water. And the truth of this entire ocean is only thing, substance called water. If you know, you have what? You have the knowledge, both knowledge. If you have the knowledge, rupa jnanam, you have the surupa jnanam. You have para prakriti jnanam, apara prakriti jnanam. Similarly, with reference to this entire cosmos also, understand, this is mind-boggling because innumerable countless forms and five different elements and so many elementals, and which is where our every body, mind and complex is part of this, tiniest. And we have to understand this whole cosmos is manifestation of only truth called knowledge. Only reality knowledge. Appearance of the only reality. Without which this will not be here. No? We should understand. This is jnanam. And what is that one truth? What is that one truth of this entire cosmos is what? Vijnanam. If you understand, your knowledge is complete knowledge. Purnam jnanam purna vidya. How can I understand the truth of the universe? The truth, as I said in my class, the truth of the universe, even though everything is truth, everything is all that is only the truth, the reality, Bhagavan, the truth of the universe, the swarupam of Bhagavan has to be recognized, available for recognition only in one's own mind as the truth of I. This also revealed in the Upanishad, made very clear, Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam. It's very made very clear. When you discover that reality as your own swarupam, you see yourself being non-separate from the truth and Bhagavan, the whole. Isn't it? Once you understood means, the knower is resolved in the very truth. After knowing this, the knower will not be there anymore. The knower is resolved in its swarupa, means then afterwards there's nothing needs to be known. Yat jnatva, having understood Bhagavan as a whole, both the aspects of Bhagavan, only Bhagavan, the only truth, both the aspects of the only Bhagavan, only truth, having understood yat jnatva, jnatavyam na avasishyate, there's nothing which is to be known afterwards. After knowing Bhagavan, what should they know? After studying something, okay, go and study, go to university, join the course, study for 3-4 years, and finish, get one degree in one given discipline. A physics graduate or a maths graduate. Again, you can do masters. Again, you can do PhD. Again, you can go for Bosar fellowship. Again, go for some other discipline, the same department, something else. Get 10 PhDs. Again, there will be so much to know. The knowledge of anything in the world will always be incomplete knowledge. If I know something, there's so much we come to know that I need to know so much. The more we know, the more we understand our ignorance. Come to know of our ignorance. The knowledge of anything in this world will all, how much ever we know, still there'll be, knowledge will be of, knowledge will be incomplete knowledge. Apurnam jnanam. That's it. And this lifespan is not enough. The span of life is not enough. How much can we know? Always knowledge of anything within the matter, within the realm of matter, within the realm of ignorance, knowledge of anything within the realm of matter, within the realm of this objective universe, will always be incomplete knowledge. Okay, apurna vidya. But knowledge of the self, knowledge of the truth, isn't it? Once you know, there's no nothing incomplete. Nothing. This is the truth. So knowledge of the truth is always knowledge of the source of knowledge is what always will be a complete knowledge. Purnam jnanam. And it is this knowledge, isn't it, gaining which you can free yourself from bondage of karma. You can free yourself from sorrow for good. It is only knowledge which will free you from limitations. No other knowledge. He said, yat jnatva jnatavyam na avasishyate. After knowing this, after understanding Bhagavan, understanding the truth, then jnatavyam na avasishyate. There's nothing which is to be known afterwards. Okay. Yat jnatva, having known which, iha, in this world, bhuyaha anyat jnatavyam na avasishyate. There's nothing in this world, again here for one, to be known. Nothing remains to be known.
Manushyanam sahasreshu, manushyanam sahasreshu, kaschidyatati siddhaye, kaschidyatati siddhaye, yatatamapi siddhanam, yatatamapi siddhanam, kaschin mam veti tattvatah, kaschin mam veti tattvatah, manushyanam sahasreshu, manushyanam sahasreshu, kaschid yatati siddhaye, yatatamapi siddhanam, yatatamapi siddhanam, kaschin mam veti tattvatah, kaschin mam veti tattvatah. And here,
This knowledge happens to be the very, very precious knowledge. The only knowledge which liberates, which frees you from all limitations, which will put an end to the very act of praying, worship, after gaining which one need not gain anything else, after knowing which everything else becomes known as it were, gained as it were. Because anything and everything you want to achieve in life, only ultimately for happiness, ultimately for limitlessness, ultimately for sukham, nitya nirantara sukham. Once you have discovered the sukham, discovering Bhagavan is discovering the permanent sukham, happiness, everlasting happiness. Discovering Bhagavan is discovering the truth of the whole, and discovering the truth of the whole is discovering the truth as one's own truth, as a truth of the knower. That is why Bhagavan and Mokshaha, Bhagavan and happiness are not two different things. Happiness is Bhagavan, Bhagavan is happiness. In Puranic language, we say Bhagavat Sakshatkaraha. In philosophical language, attainment of knowledge of the truth. Isn't it? Two different expressions we are using, really speaking. Bhagavan and happiness and truth are not different. But once you discovered this truth, discovered this fact about Bhagavan, understand the concept of Bhagavan, Bhagavan as the Bhagavan's Rupam and Swarupam, after having which you would have resolved your own individuality in Bhagavan the whole. You would, there will not be afterwards I am. No, that separation will not be there. You would have resolved your individuality in totality. And you will not isolate yourself anymore from the whole. And you will understand the fact how clear you are when you say, where is the wave? Once you know the truth of the wave is water, and you will say, where is the wave? It's only water. It's only water. Where is the ocean? It's only water. There's a wave and ocean or what? They seem to be existent. Really speaking, what is, there's only water. Like the understanding Bhagavan's Rupam and Swarupam, having obtained Jnanam and Vijnanam, you see what? What is, there is only Bhagavan, only Brahma, only truth means. Even you have resolved your individuality in totality, which means you understand what fullness is. See, water need not make any effort to fill the ocean. Being full is nature of the water. You understand Bhagavan is the truth of everything, and you understand everything is Bhagavan. Then you see what? Fullness is the very nature of Bhagavan. Being full is the nature, means fullness is the nature. And the fullness means not being a fraction. And when you recognize your Swarupam being the truth, and you see you are non-separate from the whole, which means you are fullness yourself. So fullness is not a state of mind. Today, Didman didn't come. Fullness is not a state of mind. Happiness is not a state of mind. Expression of fullness is happiness. Expression of fullness is happiness. Then no external situation will afflict you. You will know how to be objective towards everything. This unafflictedness is what? Not being afflicted by the situations. It's also what? Freedom. Because of your objectivity, because of your non-internalization, you are free. That is moksha. Moksha while living, jivan muktihi. And you discover fullness, happiness, your own swarupam. And what else do you need to do? Anything else you do will be only for the well-being of society. For the sake of living in this world, not for happiness and security. See, after the attainment of knowledge, whatever you do is done only for the sake of doing, for the society, social well-being, but not for your happiness and security. Therefore, you need not do anything after the attainment of jnanam for happiness and security. Because you discover Bhagavan as your Surupam. You discover Bhagavan, yourself being emancipated from Bhagavan. You discover yourself being the source of happiness and security. You are self-dependent. That is why initially, unknowingly, we are dependent on the world for happiness and security. And when you expose the Shastra study, we shift our dependence from the world to Bhagavan. When you discover Bhagavan's Rupam, then there, from there you understand Bhagavan's Surupam as your own Surupam, your own self. You shift your dependence from Bhagavan to yourself. Then you become self-dependent. And being self-dependent is what? Independence, which is freedom, which is moksha. Therefore, you say, but that moksha, but there's no way of shifting directly from the Jagat to yourself. You have to move on from Jagat to Bhagavan, Bhagavan to yourself. Isn't it? That is what is independence. And after which, Jnatavyam na avasishyate. Nothing else is there for you to know. That is why yad jnatva iha jnatavyam kinchit na avasishyate. Nothing else remains to be known after having understood Bhagavan's Rupam and Bhagavan's Surupam as yourself. Having resolved yourself in Bhagavan the whole, there's nothing else to be known. Okay? Now, that is why in Upanishad also it is said, Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnate bhavati. This disciple asks his teacher in one Upanishad, please tell me that knowing which everything else becomes known as it were. Then after nothing else needs to be known. Because the knowledge has served its purpose. Now in this third verse he says, even though that is the greatness of knowledge, but how many people in the world are inclined or interested in attaining this knowledge? Not many. Because even for a person to be inclined for this knowledge, to be interested in this knowledge, he must have some sort of a samskara, some sort of punyam, and he must know the value of his knowledge also. Generally, all the people, we can't expect all the people to be interested in knowledge. People have their own way of coming to this knowledge. So here he says, Manushyanam sahasreshu. Manushyanam sahasreshu.
Manushyanam sahasreshu.
Kaschidyatati siddhaye.
Kaschidyatati siddhaye.
Yatatamapi siddhanam.
Yatatamapi
siddhanam. Kaschinmam veti tattvatah.
Kaschinmam veti tattvatah.
Manushyanam sahasreshu.
Manushyanam sahasreshu.
Kaschidyatati siddhaye.
Kaschidyatati siddhaye.
Yatatamapi siddhanam.
Yatatamapi siddhanam.
Kaschinmam veti tattvatah.
Kaschinmam veti tattvatah.
So, sahasreshu, sahasram means thousand. So it's upalakshanam. Upalakshanam means just a number mentioned to mean among most of the people. Sahasreshu, of all the so many thousands of people, kaschid yatati siddhaye. You know, kaschid yatati siddhaye. Siddhihi means accomplishment, success. Only rarely a person makes effort to understand, to know, let me understand what Bhagavan is. I am worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord. I am very happy in praying to the Lord. I am very happy in worshipping the Lord. I mean, very happy living a life of dharma. People come and argue also. Is it not enough? We simply live a life of dharma. What is there? I am very ethical, highly righteous person. I think living a life of dharma is better than not being righteous, not being being unethical. So I think I see there is no God, there is no need to worship or pray. It's enough if I simply live a life of dharma. That people who are inclined to be ethical and righteous, but they are not interested in knowing the God. There are people who are highly worshipful and prayerful, go for pilgrimages, go to temples, donate a lot to the temples, offer prasadams, organize big yajnas and rituals, highly religious, but they are not interested in knowing who Bhagavan is. Isn't it? In fact, Swamiji makes it very clear, you know, there are people who are definitely highly ethical, who are very righteous, who live a life of dharma. So ethical, but they are not spiritual. There are people highly religious, they are worshipful and prayerful, but they are not spiritual. But who is a spiritual person? Only when a person discovers the desire for knowledge and knowing the value of moksha. When a person has purushartha nischaya, I tell you, if a person has purushartha nischaya, definitely moksha is my choiceless end. Moksha is not going somewhere. Moksha is happiness, which is discovering the happiness which is already there. In fact, that is what I am searching for through all my pursuits, to all my accomplishments, through the artha pursuit, artha, kama, dharma. Through all of them, what I am actually desperately searching for, seeking, is this happiness only. And that is there only in knowing the truth I can attain that. A person has, understands. If he knows the value of moksha, if he knows the knowledge is moksha, knowledge and moksha are not two different things. When knowing the value of knowledge, when the person becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then we can say, He is a purushartha nischayaha. He is definite about the ultimate end goal being, the choices end being knowledge in terms of moksha. We can say he is a spiritual person. Until then, he may be religious, he may be ethical, but he is not spiritual. For a person to become spiritual, it's very, people are naturally ethical or naturally unethical also. People are naturally having born and raised in a given background, they become highly religious also, highly religious. You ask all the pujas, every day they'll be doing pujas, every day there's some celebration. Lots of pujas, but they may not be spiritual. So when does a person become spiritual? Only when there's a desperate, there's a burning urge to know the truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know who Bhagavan is. It is not enough if I simply worship Bhagavan, pray to Bhagavan. If I am praying to the Lord, that's fine. Very good. We should pray to the Lord. I am worshipping the Lord. Very, very good. You have to worship the Lord. But I want to know who Bhagavan is. That urge comes. That is when a person becomes spiritual. Until and unless one discovers desire for knowing the Lord, he is not spiritual. He may be religious. But a spiritual person is definitely religious. A spiritual person is definitely ethical also. Know why? Once you want to know who Bhagavan is, and this knowledge, knowing Bhagavan is knowing the truth. Knowing the truth is knowing one's own Swarupam. And for this knowledge, clear knowledge, doubt-free knowledge, ascertained knowledge, you must have that mind must be qualified, isn't it? And if the mind has to become qualified, and there's no way, no shortcut method, you have to prepare your mind, and for which one has to live one's whole life consciously, a life of dharma. Living of karma yoga. When you're living a life of karma yoga means you are living a life of dharma. Living a life of dharma means all your actions are performed consciously in conformity with values means you are ethical. a spiritual person, there's no way of accomplishing the subtlest knowledge without living a life of dharma. A spiritual person, knowing the value of dharma, he lives a life of dharma. Therefore, he is definitely ethical. Other people may live a life of dharma without knowing the value of dharma. But the spiritual person is the one who lives a life of dharma knowing the value of dharma. Why I should live a life of dharma? If I do not live a life of dharma, what am I going to lose? If I live a life of dharma, what am I going to gain? So knowing the value of dharma, unless and until I live a life of dharma, there is no way of me becoming eligible, qualified for this jnanam. Okay, therefore a spiritual person is definitely ethical. And when this person is making all possible efforts to live a life of dharma, and there will be situations in life, the pratibandhas, the paradha ordained, obstacles, difficult hard situations, and he has to manage them also, for which he needs Bhagavan's grace, not to get affected, shattered, to overcome all the hardships. He needs a strength, and even to be able to live a life of dharma, he needs a strength. Not an easy joke. He needs Bhagavan's grace again to be able to live a life of dharma and to overcome, to manage situations, obstacles, for which he needs to be prayerful, and he knows he is worshipful, because he also acknowledges Bhagavan's contribution from of devatas for his well-being. He's highly worshipful also. Therefore, this person who is spiritual is definitely worshipful and definitely prayerful. Definitely he is ethical. He is ethical and religious. And the ethical person need not be religious, need not be spiritual. A religious person need not be spiritual, not be ethical. Going to temple, I may be doing all wrong things also. So religious person need not be ethical. Isn't it? Whereas a spiritual person is definitely ethical and definitely religious. Isn't it? Therefore, is all purushartha nischaya. That is why I was doing Bhajagovindam text itself. Adishinka Bhagavatpada has written, it's not enough simply people worship and pray. They should make efforts to understand Bhagavan. That is what Govindam Bhaja, Govindam Bhaja, Govindam Bhaja. As Swamiji used to say, it's a book of conversion. It converts a non-spiritual into a spiritual person, a religious person into a spiritual person, and merely ethical religious converts them into a spiritual person. Why? Other than knowledge, nothing will protect you. Nahi nahi rakshati dukkhil karane. Other than knowledge, nothing will protect you. Na sannihite kale. When the time factor comes, death approaches you. You are shivering in fear of death. Nothing will protect you from fear of death other than knowledge. Isn't it? You can welcome death happily, you know, if you understand what it is. Therefore, knowledge is important. He really emphasizes the jnanam. And how many people are interested in jnanam? Sahas yatatam purusheshu. No. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Kaschideva yatati. Only one person of thousands of people, one person alone makes efforts to know the truth. Yatatam api siddhanam. Of all those people who makes efforts, who make efforts to know the truth, you know, of all them, kaschit mam veti tattvataha, only one in many discovers me entirely, understands the Lord thoroughly, properly. Tattvataha, in reality, only one person, of the many people who make efforts, only one person rarely understands me. Kaschin mam veti tattvataha. Now, hereafter, Bhagavan is going to say how Bhagavan's swarupam, how Bhagavan, what is Bhagavan's rupam, Bhagavan's swarupam, he is going to revealed in his own words in the following verses. You can go have tea and come back.